You're going to love my next guest. Justin Collins stopped by. He's a police officer with a passion to help recruit and mentor the next generation of law enforcement. He is the co-owner and operator of Police Exam Career Prep. If you're looking for a career in law enforcement, you want to check this show out. Justin Collins, next on the Criminal Justice Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another great episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. My name is Patrick. I'm the host and creator of this great show. Great show because of you. If you're not subscribed to the CJ Evolution Podcast, please do so. And when you have a moment, besides sharing it with family and friends, give us that five-star rating on Apple Podcasts, that five-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. We sure would appreciate it. Big shout out to all the brave men and women working in the criminal justice field, whatever you are doing, wherever you are at. Ignore the noise. You are doing a fantastic job. Remember this, you are honored, cherished, and above all, you are loved. Keep up that fantastic work. You want to keep your frontline personnel safer? Then check out Detectichem. This amazing and innovative company is helping keep our brave men and women who serve us every day safer by offering mobile threat detection that fits in the palm of your hand. This application-based technology is a must-have for your organization, detecting illicit drugs, explosives, now COVID-19. Check out Detectichem's link at cjevolution.com. On to this great show with Justin Collins. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. I am very excited to have my next guest on the show, Justin Collins. He's the co-owner and operator of Police Exam Career Prep. He's doing amazing things to get our young, brave men and women ready for a career in law enforcement. Justin, welcome, brother.
Hey, thank you for having me, Pat.
Well, thank you, man. And I know we were talking a little bit before we started. You work some heavy-duty 12-hour shift, but I'm glad you're here, man. I've been through it. So
absolutely.
Now, let me ask, before we get into the meat of this, I always ask Leos and military, you know, why did you get into law enforcement? Why did you want to serve?
So I think, you know, I think the more time I get on, the clearer picture it is of why I got on. I have really two childhoods. My first childhood, I grew up in a single parent home till I was about 11 years old. Really grew up with very, you know, not much. We were pretty poor. And in the city, I grew up in the city of Buffalo. I think I always saw police. They were in my community. I always saw them as really a symbol of protection. I knew that we could depend on the police. I saw how much people looked up to police and how important they were in Buffalo where I grew up. And I don't think that would have been enough for me to get on the job, though. What happened then in the second part of my childhood, when I was about 11, my mother had met a Buffalo police officer. And they were married, and we moved out to a little bit outside of the city. And I really had that. He was very strict. So I really had him bringing me up that second part of my life. And there was a struggle, as you can imagine, when you're about 11 years old, from you're really doing what you want with your mom, and then this strict police officer comes in your house. But I really saw two different sides of that. And I think, you know, I grew to really appreciate the profession and had a little guidance on his part. So it definitely helped me. Without that, I don't know if I would have been here. So that's really what drove me, is, you know, how much police are respected in the community, or how much they were, I should say. And how much, really, I felt like it was something I could do to make an impact.
Yeah, that's awesome, brother. Thank you for your service. Now introduce the people next to you, to the audience, and let them know who they are and why are they with you?
Awesome. So yeah, next to me, we have Sarah Rosario. She's one of our students from Police Exam Career Prep. And Darius McClendon, another one of our students in Police Exam Career Prep. And they're with me because their goal is to get on the job and to become a police officer in our region.
Yeah. And I remember when we were talking before, brother, a couple of weeks ago, it is, a two-year process to get on, you know, your... some organizations there or what?
Yeah, absolutely. Anywhere from a year and a half to 2 years is really the standard for how long it takes to get on the job.
getting in the Secret Service or something, or what?
It seems a little silly. And, you know, a lot of the leaders in the community will tell you how frustrating it is with New York State Civil Service of how that works, because it is. It's a little silly how lengthy it is. And as you can imagine, Pat, you really lose a lot of candidates over that time that just get disinterested, or perhaps find another department with a process a lot quicker outside of the state, or just find something else completely different to do.
Yeah.
You know, for me, and I could use this, when I started in 2000 and eventually got on in 2004, it took me a couple of years. There was a setback. I didn't pass a step or two, and you had to get back on the horse again and get in there. I didn't have social media and all these distractions then. I can't imagine if I was going through that process as a young man, I'm sure I would have got distracted and moved on to something else. And in law enforcement, we got to be selfish. We got to be selfish in the fact that if we've got good people like these two fine folks next to me, we've got to keep them engaged till they can get to the finish line and get on this job.
Yeah. And that's what you do with police exam career prep. Because like you said, I mean, you know, it's so easy to to get distracted, because it's so competitive now, as you know.
Yep.
And you know, agencies will come and, you know, snatch a person that's just kind of wandering around for the next step in the process. And that happens here a lot in Colorado. I mean, it doesn't take near as much. It's probably about 6-7 months maybe on average from application to getting sworn in. But what do you think, brother? I mean, what do you think? You're on the job. I mean, a lot of challenges out there. What do you think some of the biggest challenges we're going to have in the future in law enforcement?
Well, number one, and I think that's why I got into what I'm doing, is recruiting. Here where I'm at, numbers are way down as far as people that are trying to get on the job. Going back to when I took the test, we had about 4,000 people. Before that, the numbers were higher and higher for the amount of people that would come out for a specific test. Mm-hmm. Now we're looking at 200-300. As you can imagine, if you're getting 300 people to take this test, you know, some of them will be completely not qualified for a litany of reasons. So really just finding good people that want to do this job and steering them into port so they can start this career. That's what I think one of the greatest challenges. And also is the fact that finding the right people. We know that our profession is evolving. You know, people mentioned reform and change, and reform is good in my opinion for any industry. Anytime you can start to adapt and change, just like this law enforcement profession has adapted over time, but great reform is happening now too. And it's really finding the right types of people that would want to do this job. You know, your badass SWAT guys, and that is a fan that we need those guys. It's like we need all different.
That's a very small part of the job.
It is. If you're John Wick, that's not necessarily what a police agency's looking for.
Right? No. I mean, and the image of that is kind of, I mean, we need SWAT, you know that. We need those special response teams. But, you know, in this environment, I mean, they're always, a lot of them are, you know, when they see a team show up, they're like, eh.
Right.
So,
they're a huge part of the organization. We need them, but we need other types of people to do this job as well.
Yeah. So let me go to Sarah right here. Right. Sarah, why do you want to get into law enforcement?
Well, to be honest, I did not want it to be an officer. Within time it came, and just seeing how the crime rate went up, seeing how loved ones, families, and friends, you know, got into the streets, the drugs. Our generations now, you know, I got two kids. I would love for them to be in a good generation. Fortunately, that doesn't happen. But just little things like that, it's what's making me, or what have made me chose to become. One, making a difference.
Yeah, and that's awesome. That's awesome.
I want my children to see that, you know, if mom can do it, you know, I can achieve something. I want the image in my kids' eyes, and to know that there are good things out there. There's good peoples out there. There's good opportunities out there. We just need to go forward, grab onto it, achieve it, and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's awesome. And thank you for your career path. Now, I'll go to Darius in a minute, but I remember when I was a young officer, when I was going through the process, and when I became an officer, I lost a lot of friends that I thought were friends, and Justin can attest to this. I mean, did you feel some of that heat, you know, where if...
I did. I was, at first, I kind of made it. I made it to the process, and I noticed I lost friends.
Mm-hmm.
Friends weren't happy. Fortunately, you know, I withdraw, and I still lost friends.
Yeah.
Because
you wanted to go into it in the first place.
So, you know, it was a lot of negativities, you know, the thoughts. And at the end of the day, I just did not care. And now I'm back here.
Oh, that's so, good for you. You know, I respect that and I imagine Darius is probably going to have maybe the similar kind of answer when I ask him. But, you know, you got to do what you want to do. And I think so many people out there do what other people want them to do. And then if you do that, you're going to go through your life wondering, I wonder if I would have had a different life or a different path if I would have done what I love to do.
Right.
So awesome. Thank you. Look, Darius, let's go to you, brother.
All right.
So why did you choose a law enforcement career path?
Honestly, because I want to be the bridge between the community of color and law enforcement.
Love
There's
it.
Such a huge gap and no trust on either side.
Yeah.
I want to try to bring them closer together.
So yeah, that's such a good, it's a good reason to get into law enforcement. Now, do you think, you know, Darius, do you think that you might get blowback, or have you gotten blowback from the African-American community because you've decided to go your career route?
I'm 100% sure that I will get that.
Yeah.
No question about it.
Well, like I said, I got a good friend who's a sergeant with LAPD, and he's African-American, great guy. And I remember him telling me that because he grew up in a bad neighborhood. I can't remember where in LA, but he lost everybody. All of his friends were like, you know, screw you. And he's very successful. He's a speaker and has a very good career. You know, the people that, again, the true friends are going to be with you. You know that. Everybody knows that. You know, they're going to support you. So, all right, Justin, let's go back to you, brother. Let's talk about this amazing company that you helped co-create, Police Exam Career Prep. And let's get into it. And what do you do? How are you helping Sarah and Darius?
So thanks. So we've had about close to 75 folks that we've helped since we started a couple of years back. And in this process around here, like I said, it is so difficult to get hired. That's a number we're very, very happy about, that we helped 75 people get on this job. And the number is growing. In our class currently, there's about 35 different students. You should keep the number anywhere from 35 to 40. And folks will be with us anywhere from a year to a year and a half to 2 years. You know, I want to talk about, you mentioned about like losing friends and, mm-hmm. you know, as you go through this process, if you could imagine in that year to 2 years it takes to get hired, Pat, it's a pretty lonely process.
People
are very confused of why you're not a cop yet. What's taking so long? You know, I really subscribe to surrounding yourself with people that are on the same mission as you. And we are very laser focused in our group. I'll see the students for about 2 hours every week in the physical form. And then digitally, I'll see them during the week. Mm-hmm. But the group actually becomes like another family. Mm-hmm. They're together a lot. They do a lot of social stuff together. They'll work out together. They'll encourage each other if one of them has a setback. But they really become another family. And, you know, that would have been great to have for me personally, because I didn't have that when I was going through that. And I started losing some of those friends that were making shitty or poor choices, I should say. They were making poor choices. And then, you know, I obviously had to distance myself from those folks. So having this group of people that really cares about each other and it's all working towards the same thing and the same goals, that's really what we've created. But, you know, when we talk about, like I mentioned, John Wick early kid, and obviously we need the traffic cops, we need SWAT guys, we need all these different types of folks. But what I really try to center this company around is finding folks that are community oriented, because I feel like obviously that's where the profession's going. People that can empathize, you know, people who can empathize with those battling addiction, people that can empathize with those in poverty or homelessness, and not just painting everyone with a broad brush. Yeah. And how do you find those type of people? One of the ways that we've done that is, you know, I'd say it is a prereq for students to volunteer in the community and with those vulnerable populations, seniors, the people in crisis. And, you know, I would say, look, well, you're making them do it. Well, here's what happens. Yeah, we're making them do it. But a lot of people leave this team because they don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. They do not want to volunteer. Sarah and I were at the House of Mercy with a few other people the other day, volunteering with homeless, preparing meals and then serving meals to some of the homeless. And this is a group of homeless that are kicked out of a lot of other shelters because of behavioral issues. Mm-hmm. It's not always a friendly bunch. A lot of mental health issues that folks there are battling. But again, we're out there with parts of the community that we know from being officers that the police officers are going to encounter. Yeah. And to me, that really weeds out folks that are in it for the wrong reasons or are not going to do well, in my opinion, in this current environment. So we really look for a certain type of person. You know, I hear from time to time, they talk about wanting to replace police officers with social workers. In my opinion, that's never going to happen. No. The social workers are not going to pull up to a man with a gun. I can go on and on and on.
Yeah.
But I do think that we can find a certain group of men and women that do want to lead with empathy, do want to be community first. However, we'll train them up in the other areas. Mm-hmm. And that's what we do. We prepare for the written exam. We prepare for all the physical agility tests. We will prepare them for their interview. A lot of the chiefs in the area, they give us an endorsement, the chiefs association locally. So the chiefs will meet with us to do mock interviews to get these students ready. I have retired background investigators who formerly worked for departments now will do resume prep and get these students comfortable. Because again, this is a major life change, you know, even being comfortable at telling your story, right? Like, if you're going to get a job to be the regional manager at Target, or if you're going to be a branch manager at a bank, right, you're going to tell them about all the greatest hits, Justin Collins' greatest hits, all the times I did great. But when we know going through this law enforcement process, you're going to talk about all the times you made really bad choices and things you're super embarrassed about and not comfortable about. And if you've never had any relationship with law enforcement, if you're, you know, there might even be some distrust in your community, right, or your family for law enforcement, you're not suddenly going to be like, all right, well, let me just go tell this police officer all the bad shit that I've done or things at times that I made poor choices. Everyone's made poor choices, right? But it's just getting comfortable people, getting comfortable with telling their story. And if your story obviously isn't as damning as often you think it is, right? And you get comfortable and then you can get through that process. But the end is to find people that are going to be good, empathetic police officers with some life experience, which both these two fine folks do have, as do many of our other folks, but holding their hand through this process. So the end game is they're getting sworn in.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And I love what you said about empathy and being sympathetic. And Darius, you said, you know, bridging those gaps between the community and Leo's. And because, you know, when I, you know, Justin, you know, I came from the time when it was ask, tell, and take, you know, it wasn't, you know, we didn't, it was a different, you know, model of policing back then. And so what, obviously you have like an application process, you have your vetting process. Now, is Darius and Sarah, are you sponsored by an agency or do you have to put yourself through it?
They put ourselves through
it. Okay.
Yep. They put themselves through it. We do have some local businesses that will underwrite or will sponsor the class to keep it going because it is needed so greatly. Like I said, the numbers are down, but it is a private entity. So if someone, for whatever reason, isn't quite meeting the standards, it's never a surprise. You know, you'll be spoken to about it. But like I always tell the folks in the class that, you know, I want to make sure that they're doing their best too, because I don't want to be embarrassed. No. If we've got someone in here that we know doesn't really care or isn't really engaged or is not going to do their best, because it looks bad not only on me but all our instructors and all the other students who are shooting for that same dream.
And I imagine that the young individuals that you know produce with what you're doing, Justin, I bet you they're probably more competitive than the regular applicant.
I'd say so. We competition, I think it breeds excellence. And we have a very hungry group of people that they compete every week, all different ways. You know, we have physical competitions, obviously, too, but we'll do writing contests. We'll do public speaking contests. They're critiqued. I mean, the average person will have probably spoken publicly in their time, you know, 50, 60 different times in front of groups of strangers, groups of police chiefs. So you may come in very green. All you got to do is have that drive to want to succeed. And then boom, it'll happen for you. So, I mean, you just got to put it in. I will never quit on someone if they don't quit on themselves.
You made a good point about public speaking. Yeah, I mean, that a lot of people, they'd rather die than get up in front of people and speak. But if you can master that, and Darius, you're a smart individual, and Sarah, you are too, very educated. I mean, you got it down. And once you become a police officer, Justin knows, I mean, you're out there talking to people all the time. So it's just, you know, it's just kind of a natural thing. I mean, I teach, and so it's natural for me, but those are skills that you got to hone. And yes, I mean, I remember I used to run oral boards, you know, in my agency, and, you know, you could definitely tell people who were unprepared as opposed to the people who weren't prepared.
Right.
So walk us through a typical day, Justin. What does it look like?
So a typical day, we will meet, we'll have our roll call. So we have our own version of a roll call. And obviously we will review what we did during the week. So every week, I think 2 to 3 times a week, we'll meet at the Boys and Girls Club, and Darius is there quite often, volunteering an hour or two at a time, because all these folks still have their own jobs. They still have families. They do this stuff in addition to that. But we'll review what we did. We'll discuss our time at the Boys and Girls Club. We work with a lot of grassroots groups who are trying to end violence. And I think I'm sure you know from your time in law enforcement, the grassroots groups sometimes are the groups that make the biggest impact. Mm-hmm. So we'll review our time spent with a grassroots group who's trying to curb violence. And then when we start our roll call, we'll typically, if it's a physical day, we'll have one of our PT instructors come in and do some PT just to make sure that we're sharp. Mm-hmm. And then, like I said, a couple of weeks back, we did some tourniquet training. We may be doing a written prep class. And at the end of class, we will be doing a challenge where we have a flag that we compete for. So like our class, a guide on, and there's two different squads. So they will battle in some type of physical challenge. And yes, it does breed great competition. Our week start off on Monday, obviously. We'll do we meet physically on Sunday, but our week will begin with putting our goals in. And I'm a very goal-oriented person. So someone will set up their goals of what they want to accomplish that week. They'll also update us on what step they are in the process, because these guys are in various agencies, processes, and mm-hmm. as you know, their timing is all different. So they'll be in different stages. We may have a reading assignment that week. So again, we try to hone our skills for reading interpretation so that we can get back and know where we're at. And then we'll also set up a challenge typically monthly where they'll have some type of challenge. And it isn't even about necessarily the physical part of it. It's about the discipline part of it. Do mm-hmm. they complete the challenge or don't they? And it may be you have to videotape yourself doing a plank for X amount of minutes. You have to put it in the group, and that way everybody keeps each other accountable, or whatever the challenge. Maybe it's a certain type of run, but it's never meant to be backbreaking, but it's just meant to weed out folks that if I tell them all the time that if you think this is too much, you have no idea how difficult the police academy is going to be. Or the job, I'm not going to like it. So it's really getting them to meet that discipline standard. And then on Friday, we'll do our volunteering throughout the week. On Friday, we'll talk about the wins and the things that went right for us. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just enough. I liken it to really each person has to spend about 5.5 hours a week of just being engaged with our team. And if you can meet that, then you can meet the standard that we set. Doesn't seem like a huge lift, but again, it's in addition to their job that they have and their families. But after that Friday, they'll have the weekend to themselves. Occasionally we'll have a volunteer event. And then on Sunday, we'll meet back again in the physical form.
Cool.
So whether it's, then I'll review a lot of times, like I said, the writing assignments or the different things that we'll have to do. And then they'll just repeat. And the process is just for those who can be consistent, emotionally intelligent, and mature. And it doesn't always, the youngest person that we've had in class was about 18. And they're 19 and actually got hired. And it was a risk to take someone who is 18 because again, that maturity piece is important. And then I've had folks, you know, the age cutoff here is 35. So I've had folks that were 33, 34. We just sent one that was 34, right at his 35th birthday, Tyrone got hired. So so you know, we have folks that aren't just kids in here. You know, I hear people will tell me, well, we got explorer programs too where I'm at. This is not an explorer program. It's adult. I don't know how familiar you are with like NHL hockey at Colorado Avalanche.
Yeah.
All the Canadians use the Quebec Major Junior League and the Western Canada League in hockey. And they develop people that are anywhere from 19 to 24. Some of them get drafted and some of them are about to be drafted and some of them won't be drafted, but they're basically, it's like a place to develop pros, like a workforce development. Yeah. And that's exactly what we're doing here. We're trying to develop young people to be police officers, but not at the same standard of a police academy. Because if it was academy, they'd just be in the academy.
It's a great business model. I mean, it's something that I think that you could expand if you haven't already. It sounds great. Now, Justin, if people want to reach out to you and get more information, where can they find you, brother?
They can find us all over social media. And obviously our website is policeexamcareerprep.com. We're on police_examcareerprep on Instagram and policeexamcareerprep on Facebook and on Twitter. You know, and if they want to reach out, that really is the next step for us, is trying to get this, I guess, across the country.
Yeah, I love it. Well, Sarah, Darius, and of course, Justin, thank you for coming on the show. Anything we can do for you, Justin, to get the word out, we will once this gets pushed out. Please let me know, buddy.
Thanks so much. I appreciate your time and thank you for having us.
All right, brother. See ya.
Take care.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.